This episode is brought to you by .site domains. If you're looking to build a great website for your business, you can find a short and meaningful domain name on the .site domain extension. To register, visit www.get.site, that's S-I-T-E, and use the code SELFRELIANCE to get up to a 50% discount on your purchase. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is John Gents, and my guest today is Jordan Babinaw. He transitioned from nearly a decade of playing in the NFL to become a sports broadcaster, serial entrepreneur, and business executive, and now let's add author to that. He has a recently released book called Pivot to Win, Make the Big Plays in Life, Sports, and Business. So, Jordan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. I'm happy to be here and having me on to chat with your audience, your group of entrepreneurs like myself, who certainly at this time is having to figure things out in such a time as this. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, pivot's a big word right now. I suspect many of your shows have to start with the host, if they happen to be an NFL fan, sort of like telling you about their team. And do you have to spend a lot of time getting through that before we can get to the book?
Yeah, and most of them are stories, and whether they're Cowboys fans or not, as many people continue to help me relive two of the most biggest plays in my sports career with the Seahawks. So and those are always fun.
Yeah. Tell
but since I asked, and since you brought it up, John, so who's your team?
Well, so I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, and so the Chiefs have been pretty easy to watch the last couple of years.
Not bad. Not a bad team to root for.
Yeah, we didn't get the result in the Super Bowl we wanted, but you can't get too greedy, can you?
Well, you can. I mean, but I'll tell you this, though. Despite losing, there's 30 other teams that, well, 16 in their conference, 15 other teams that wish that they were there.
Sure. You bet. And it's the Chiefs are a fairly young team, too. So,
yeah.
They're not going anywhere. So let's get one of the things in the first things in the book is the first chapter. I think it's called Leverage Your Odds. And you had a nickname that involved the word big play. You were, however, an undrafted free agent from the football powerhouse of Southern Arkansas. So how did you leverage your odds? Because obviously you went on to have a very big story. So and you even go in and talk about your humble upbringing in Port Arthur, Texas, that might not suggest a career of greatness in the NFL. So what did you do to leverage your odds?
Yeah, one of the stories I share in Pivot to Win is my brother and I and how we grew up. We were the two youngest of five. We were raised by my mother. My father passed at the early age of 8 years old, and it was suddenly my mother left to figure things out. And I don't know how she did it, John. I look back at it and incredibly thankful for this woman, a virtuous woman, and the things that she was able to expose us to, the things that we were able to do. During that time, after my father's death, I certainly was fighting for attention. I was one of the smart kids in school, but I was troubled. I was always in the principal's office and looking for things to get into because I'd be one of the first ones to finish my work. And my mom one day was approached by a gentleman. We were in a grocery store, and here my brother and I don't know, probably throwing things around or putting things in a basket that when mom looked away that we probably didn't need, nor could we afford, approached her and asked her about putting us in football. And, you know, I went back and had some conversations with my mother about that day. And what she said was she saw things change for us when we were dealing with so much mourning and navigating through what loss looked like at an early age. Suddenly, her two sons were happy to be out there with smiles on their face, running around playing football. And in Monster, well, his nickname is Monster. You'll see, throughout the book, I call him Monster. But you'll see, like, as the younger brother, I looked up to him. I was always trying to be better than him in anything. Whatever he did, I did. Whatever he wanted to do, I wanted to do better. And when we had a chance to go to college, he went off to Iowa University, played with the Hawkeyes. I went to Southern Arkansas, a Division II school. And my senior year, I reached out to him. I was like, well, I got to figure out what the next level looks like, because certainly I had all of the drive and was ambitious enough to feel like I could, you know, tackle a tough challenge or want to play at the next level, but wasn't getting much of the attention at Southern Arkansas as he was over at the University of Iowa. And I reached out to him and asked him if I could come train with him my senior year that summer. So when I talk about leverage in the book, I mean, leverage your position, your skill set, or your relationships. That was one of the relationships that I leveraged. I went to Iowa. I spent several weeks there training throughout the summer. I overlooked partying and hanging out with friends to go pursue something, this childhood dream. And when I left the University of Iowa, I was bigger, faster, stronger. I went back to Southern Arkansas with an exuberant attitude. I was like, if this is what the NFL is choosing from, if this is their pool of talent, I'm certainly capable of playing at the next level. And from there, that level of confidence just took me to a whole new level that senior year, and I made All-American. I had a chance to work out in front of 16 teams, and slowly but surely, the story of Jordan Babineau was being written.
So I'm actually one of 10. I have 7 brothers, and we wore out knee football. And all these years, I thought we invented the game. But apparently other people play this game too.
Yeah, man. That was my brother was always bigger than me too at that.
Well, he was a defensive end. You were just a cornerback.
Yeah, right? I was a scrawny kid, I'm telling you. I mean, in high school, I probably graduated, I was like 170 pounds or so. But yeah, we played knee football, man. And I'll tell you what we used to do, John. Back in the 80s when shoulder pads were a thing in the Blazers, we would take our socks, we would stuff socks, like just kind of wrap them up, we'd put them in our shirt, and we'd have shoulder pads, and he would bulldoze me all around the house, push me across the furniture. But man, those were the fun times, John. Yeah, we thought we were the inventors of knee football, man.
So one of the things that is great advice is commonly offered advice is that you can't be a victim of your circumstances. But let's face it, there's some people who got some pretty tough circumstances. I mean, how does that person that's got maybe no reason to be hopeful, I mean, how do they lift themselves up?
Yeah, and certainly you said it, John. We're all dealing with different types of adversities. I grew up in Port Arthur, Texas, as you mentioned earlier, surrounded by drug abuse, addiction, violence, economic ruins, living on government assistance. And the streets, plain and simple, it just appeared to be a much faster way to make money. I mean, that was the environment that we lived in. But I'll share this story. I was in middle school, and Mickey Washington came to visit us. Mickey spent a few years in the NFL from Port Arthur. And that was just that little insight that I needed to feel like something was possible. It's like, wow, it's like when we're going through certain things, it's as if we're the only person or the first person to have experienced something as drastic as it has. And there are way too many people in the world who have had successful stories for us not to lean on or to not go get some level of insight that can help us in our situation. And for me, that was one of those revelations where I just knew that things were possible. And that's all we need is just a little bit of a glare of hope sometimes to feel like those things are possible, and they're possible for you. So I share that story, but also say this too. In order for us to want to move to a better place in our lives, in our business, in our relationships, it starts with us. We first have to believe that it's possible. Mm-hmm. And then the action of the things that we're experiencing or attracting in our life, you start fixing your mind on those things, and you'll be like, wow, it just ended up in my lap. And then suddenly people think you're an overnight success. But the whole time you've shifted your mindset, you've changed your behaviors, and slowly you've become this person that you envision for yourself.
So I talked to a lot of entrepreneurs over the years, and there seems to be a theme or a trend that, you know, a lot of times people get that dream, they get that vision, they start making some progress, and then they start thinking, hey, I got this figured out. And of course, that's when they get kicked in the butt, right? Was there a moment in your path where maybe you started thinking, I got this figured out, but then you had like this wake up call?
Yeah, John, my wake up call was what I would call a bonehead move. I share in the story. We all have those bonehead stories, right? Some people get caught. Some people overcome them. Some people face jail time behind it. My bonehead move is when I got into the NFL. Suddenly I realized the environment that I grew in had caught up with me. And here I was thinking that I can transport marijuana through the airport. And yeah, you can imagine what happened, right? I mean, suddenly I'm at this level of success where it's like, why would you do something like that to jeopardize all of the work that you've put in to get to this level just for one moment, one silly decision? And here I was in Houston, Texas, behind bars for far too long. And it was a reality call for me. It was definitely one of those wake up moments where I thought, like, here I was invincible. The rules didn't apply to me. I got to this level of success where I got this. Things are cruising. Things are going well. And you're absolutely right. Suddenly you get this wake up call. Those wake up calls really are moments of humility where you just got to take a look and start examining yourself. Like, what are the things that I'm doing that one that got me here? How can I prevent this moving forward that this never happens again? And start putting some, I would call some parameters in place around what success looks like for you moving forward. And it's not just on, it wasn't just on the football field. It was addressing who I was as a person. Certainly there was some bad stuff happening in my thinking and in my thoughts of wanting to feel like things that just, I was just better than, or rules didn't apply. Yeah. And so I had to reach out, and I started forming what an accountability group, getting mentors around me, coaches, people who can help drive me to be this better person that I envisioned for myself. You know, so I share this that because if we have accountability partners, we're more likely to achieve what it is that we want. When we write down our goals and we tell people about them, these people will hold you accountable to them. And at the end of the day, certainly we're all accountable for our own actions. But if you have a support group that helps you become the person that you want to be, it certainly increases your opportunity to be that person.
If nothing else, you got a group of people you don't want, that are maybe closer to you, that you don't want to let down now. And so there's that kind of motivation and drive too. So the word pivot in business circles is often used when, you know, a company's got one idea in mind, they've got a vision, they're going for it, and then the market tells them, nah, we don't want what you got to sell. So they pivot and do something else. Mm-hmm. How do you use it? What's the context you use the word in?
Yeah. So funny, in the early 90s, as growing up in Texas, the Houston Rockets were a big favorite team of mine. And you remember Hakeem Olajuwon, I think he was the early number one draft pick for the Rockets. And he had this famous move, right? It's called the Dream Shake. I mean, he would be anchored in one foot, he'd pivot away, he'd shake the defender, he'd fool him, get him looking one way, and then he'd free himself up for a shot. Or he'd pass the ball to, I think it was Clyde Drexler, Kenny Smith, and he had just an arsenal of talent around him. Yeah. When I think of the word pivoting, it starts with being grounded. So we're grounded and rooted in something, whatever your main cause is in business. We're serving customers this way. This is our main product that we serve customers. But then something happens. The market changed. The environment changed. A pandemic happens. And we're suddenly forced to grow. We have to think about a different way and a different method of how our strategies serve our customers. And sometimes when we do that, we have to realize those processes need to change, whether it's hiring practices, whether it's the different pain points through leveraging technology and how we eliminate some of the pain points of how our customer gets their product. And so when we look at pivots, or to me, I look at them as new opportunities and better ways to increase what we're already doing. Now, it doesn't mean that you get rid of your main product, but it may mean that we need to alter a process, or maybe we look at our supply chain differently and how we can decrease expenses. There are many ways, I think, when we look at incorporating pivots, that we go to examining how we want to improve. But we look at them in two ways. We look at them as a loss. Maybe I've lost something, or we look at it as a way that I've gained something. And that's the growth mindset that I'm talking about. All throughout the book, it talks about the growth mindset. I'll share this quote with you with Charles Darwin. He said, it's not the strongest to survive, nor it's the most intelligent. It's the one who's most adaptable to change.
Have you ever tried looking for a domain name? Chances are that the first few options you tried were not available. And you're not alone. I mean, over 65% of domain name searches actually fail because, you know, all good domain names are already taken. But that's not necessarily true. In fact, I got myself selfreliance.site, where I talk about my book, The Self-Reliant Entrepreneur, and share content to help people become self-reliant in their entrepreneurial journey. You too can get your very own .site domain for as low as $1.99. Visit www.get.site or click the link in the description on the show notes page. Search for your unique .site domain and use the code SELFRELIANCE to get 50% off your domain purchase. So one of the things that certainly I'm sure you were a victim of at times is, you know, in the NFL, they get all this film, they got all these people analyzing everything you do, all your tendencies, what you tend to do in certain down situations and whatnot. And so if you don't continue to grow, if you don't continue to shake things up, you're probably not going to last that long. Is that a fair statement?
No, absolutely. John, I'll share my quick story. When I got into the NFL, again, coming from a Division II, I walked into the Seahawks locker room. I'm finding my locker. I get to my locker. I'm blown away, right? I mean, my name's on the back of an NFL jersey. I'm touching the stitch, and I even smell the jersey, man. This is what NFL smells like. I see down in my locker, and there's a note from the equipment manager to go get fitted for my equipment. And I walk in. I get my shoulder pads on. There's just the layout of, you name it, any kind of cleat, the glove that you want, any type that you want. And I put my helmet on, and I'm like looking in the mirror. I'm just getting excited, the sense of excitement. I said, this is what the NFL feels like. And he said, be careful, rookie. Get your head out of the clouds. The NFL stands for not for long. I was like, whoa. You know, I didn't think of it that way, but you're absolutely right.
That's brutal. Even the equipment manager's on the rookie, huh?
Oh, yeah, man. It was. Well, there's a lot of stories behind being rookies in the NFL.
So essentially what we're saying, or the point I was trying to make is you got to keep growing, or you're dying or getting left behind. So how do you keep growing? How do you personally kind of challenge yourself to do things that maybe you're not used to doing?
Yeah. I think one of the greatest qualities to have in terms of understanding where you are and where you want to be is always looking ahead. Yeah. I would have this crazy vision of playing in the NFL since a child, so much that I could feel it in my body. Like I knew what it felt like to score a touchdown or to run out in the crowd and 70,000 screaming fans, either cheering for you or booing. But it's so powerful when we experience these levels of visualization. And to the extent of that, again, I mentioned this earlier, but your mind will start to attract those things in your life. And you're also able to understand, well, that won't get me there. I need to stop doing that. And I think that's also a big aha moment, too. It's not only just understanding what it takes to get there, but it's also understanding what it takes that won't get you there. And yeah. So having this foresight of always looking ahead, understanding the possibilities of what good habits would look like, developing good habits would look like, putting them in place and being intentional. John, that's the one thing. It's like, I'll tell you, change is tough, man. Change equals loss. It's a loss of identity. It's a loss of myself. Psychology, psychologically, I'm like, you may even experience that this sense of inadequacy. Like, am I even good enough to be here? Right. And so you start playing this game and this battle in your head. But you can also look at it in a positive state, too. And I think that's the important part of it. There's a negative element to it. But the positive side of it, of understanding where it is that you want to go, putting those better habits in place, but being intentional about your change, John, will help you move through change without getting stuck.
So you obviously had a lot of opportunities that are afforded to somebody who has a bit of celebrity status, which you did at certainly and do still today. But you had to make a pretty big pivot at one point and leave the NFL. Yeah. So how did you address that? How did you deal with that? Was that harder than you suspected it would be?
Absolutely. So there's planned pivots, and then there's pivots that are unplanned. I mean, I don't think anyone could have planned for, you know, what we experienced last year in 2020. I don't care what your risk mitigation plan was in place, or that you may have had your disaster recovery plan, that went out of the window. Everything changed. And When I left the NFL, well, prior to leaving the NFL, my brother and I started a couple companies we were still playing. And one of them was a production company. We had a lot of success. We've worked with some high-profile comedians. We've worked with Kevin Hart, Mike Epps. We even produced a feature film that landed in limited theaters at one point, I think 5 or 6 years ago, titled Woman Thou Art Loose. But it, even when people saw me, I moved from the NFL to broadcast journalism, and I was appearing on the NFL Network. And here I was, to them, at least to the world, presenting myself in a way where I was... It was an easy transition. I mean, now I had went to school for broadcast journalism, so I knew what I wanted to do. But still, navigating change when it feels like your tribe no longer wants you. It's like you're no longer wanted here. When you look at the NFL, you see other players who you're like, well, how are they still on the roster and I'm not on the roster, right? So you can start playing these games with yourself that can really put you down in the funk. And we hear about players pivoting away from the NFL, going through the psychological changes and understanding what new looks like. And part of it, number one, John, I had to understand what time management looked like. I mean, here I was getting to my locker on a Monday, and every hour I'm being told where to go, where to be, what time to eat, where the meetings were, all the way up through Sunday. And it was like that every week. And then you suddenly come out of the NFL and you're having to figure things out on your own. And I say that, but the NFL certainly has a lot of programs and things to help players transition away. But if you don't engage in those programs and you decide you want to figure it out on your own, because not that because we're in this alpha mentality and we've always did things our way right. That's always been our nature. That's kind of the battle that I'm talking about. And one of the pivots that I had to make was that pivot right there, understanding that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to reach out and understand how to do things when that hasn't been your skill set for the last decade. I spent 10 years, a decade in the NFL, now suddenly having to pivot away and start a new business. Well, it's going to work because I work hard. No, it's not. I mean, everyone works hard, but still don't reach their goal or do it in a strategic way where it makes sense. So again, there were just a lot of ahas for me, but part of it was, and the number one thing I talk about in Pivot to Win was reestablishing what ground zero looks like. Right. And it's assessing what those new personal values are. It's assessing what those goals are. What's your contribution to the community? What legacy you want to leave? So things like that, when I just went on this exploration process of understanding myself better, is when I saw growth.
So we didn't mention this explicitly, but your brother Jonathan is a former NFL player, and you and he, which is obviously a really rare thing, two kids, one mama sending two kids to the same NFL. But you started the Babineaux Foundation. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So everything that I do, John, it's meaningless if it doesn't have a cause, if there's no impact behind it. And one of the pillars growing up that mom always instilled with us that I knew was there. But again, when I was finding my own ground zero, I was like, duh. One, mom kept us in church. I mean, so our level of spirituality and growth there was foundational. Education, foundational, and helping other people. And when I realized this element of being able to help other people, I was like, the platform and what we have now, the voice that we can, you know, amplify, and some of the message that we can use to help other groups who may not have that voice or ability or reach to touch the masses of people, we can be that. So the Babineaux Family Foundation, when we started it initially, because growing up in Port Arthur is a heavily industrial area, we saw a high growth in lupus, an autoimmune disease. Mm. And one of the ways that we wanted to help, at least starting in our own community, was some increasing donating to research and increasing people's understanding about the disease. And since then, my brother's in Atlanta. He still lives in Atlanta. As you mentioned, played 12 years with the Falcons. I'm back in Seattle. Both of us are active in our community, doing a number of things around youth. I'm here in Seattle. For the last 3 years, I've been helping break down the barriers for reentry for formerly incarcerated, specifically around job employment. There's just a number of things that we just have an opportunity to help people. And that's special. And so all of my causes, all of anything that I'm doing or that I'm a part of, if it involves helping other people, I'm there. So it's exciting to be able to have the foundation to do that.
Awesome. And I guess if people want to meet your mom, you had her on your podcast recently, so they can check that out.
Yeah. John, I'll share this story with you. So when COVID hit, here's a story of my mom. When COVID hit in early February last year, my mother came to Seattle. I was being awarded by the United Negro College Fund for a community award. And my mother came to visit. She wanted to come to the dinner and to the celebration. And a few days later, COVID hit. If you remember, COVID hit early here in Kirkland, which is about 15 minutes from my home. And suddenly mom was stuck. She was here. My mother spent 6 months throughout the year last year here. I mean, this is time when we got new memories and new conversations that we did things that we had never done before. I get goosebumps talking about it. And wow, we were finally able to get her home. So what happened was I rented an RV and my brother rented an RV from Texas and we all met at the Rocky Mountains. Right. And while my mother, but I share this, while my mother was here, I had a chance to include her in the work that I was doing. Mama has a tribute in the book. John, when my mother got home 3 months later, she passed away. She passed away. And I was incredibly grateful for the six of the last 10 months she got to spend here in Seattle with me and my family. Wow. And it was special. Yeah. It was really special. So mom is on the podcast. Mom is in the book. Mom is in my heart. And mom is, the legacy lives on and it lives through us. And more than anything, that makes this book incredibly special.
Awesome. Jordan, tell people where they can find out more about your work and pick up a copy of Pivot to Win.
Thanks, John. PivotToWin.com. Also, you can visit me on any of the social media platforms. It's Jordan Babineau across Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. We'd love to have you guys join our sign-up list, and I'll be sending out monthly invites and pivot tips and ways to help navigate change a lot better. And yeah, I look forward to welcoming all of you to the Pivot to Win community.
Awesome. Well, Jordan, it was great having you stop by. And one of these days when we're all back out there on the road again, I'll look you up in Seattle.
Awesome, John. Thanks again for having me.
All right. So that wraps up another episode. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And you know, we love those reviews and comments. And just generally tell me what you think. Also, did you know that you could offer the Duct Tape Marketing System, our system, to your clients and build a complete marketing, consulting, coaching business, or maybe level up an agency with some additional services? That's right. Check out the Duct Tape Marketing Consultant Network. You can find it at ducttapemarketing.com and just scroll down a little and find that Offer Our System to Your Clients tab.